But when I was reading Mark's book and he was showing how these patterns work, countershading actually does work in terrestrial life as well, because it's that, well, Mark, you're the guest, I'm asking this question, and you have it explained in the book.
Oh, yes. The purpose in terrestrial mammals, whether prey or predators, is to be able to neutralize or counteract the difference between the amount of light coming down on the top of the animal's body and the belly. So if it was a prey animal, let's say an antelope, a predator would look at it, and the counter shading would make the top and the bottom look more like a homogeneous value. And the same thing would go if a prey animal looking at a predator, it would counteract the tendency of the dark back to be dark and the lower part, the belly, to be light. With sunlight coming down on it, the back looks light, and in shadow, the white belly looks darker.
What is the evolutionary or what's the natural advantage, selection reason for these two different colors between prey and predator?
Well, as I was just saying, it helps hide, in the case of a prey, it helps minimize the ability of a predator to see the difference in values of the body. Oh, there's a Thompson's gazelle over there with a dark back and a light belly, but with the sun coming down on it, the back looks lighter in value, the belly looks darker, so it's not as easy to detect. Plus all of the camouflage that something like, let's say, an antelope would have, the bands of dark and light brown that would break up its body outline. This is very important for a prey animal out in the open to have.
It helps with camouflaging.
Yeah, sort of glance things tend to, they're harder to see, but that's right. Also why Fido has, and your cat maybe has, a lighter belly. And I kind of had an aha moment with that when I saw that in Mark's book.
Yeah, so that's, if I've explained it, I'm not sure whether I explained it very well or not, but the illustration hopefully does.
Yeah, well, I'll share that with you, Dave. So
yeah.
What are you working on now?
What I'm working on right now is a book about mammoths, mastodons, and gomphotheres. The book concentrates on these creatures in the New World, in North America and South America. Mammoths tend to get the spotlight quite a bit, and I thought, well, how about mastodons and gomphotheres? No one really talks about them very much. Why not have a book that would cover their evolution as well? And I've also been a huge fan of elephants. I love them very dearly.
Me too.
So they're among my favorite animals as well. So I wanted to write a book about them. My other recent project has been to launch on a series of portraits of modern day small wild cats of South America and Africa, like ocelots and other things, because the big guys, tigers, lions, and jaguars, tend to get
all the news.
Well, they tend to get a lot of the attention in terms of environmental protections, but the little cats are not as well known. So I wanted to be able to do a series of portraits and create limited edition prints and sell them for the purpose of raising money for habitat protection programs.
Good. That's fantastic.
That's great. So when you take on a project like the sauropod book or the book on the big cats, and now you're working on another project, is that years in the making?
Usually it is. Usually I'd say it averages the books like I've been doing probably about 2 years.
Wow. 2 years. Well, I was going to guess.
What about you? Like, you're cruising the fossil freeway, Ray. That's a lot of images. How long did that take?
7 years for that one. So I'm just astounded.
7 years for Fossil Freeway. Wow.
For Fossil Freeway, and Fossil Coastline was 10 years, and I'm 71 now. So I don't know, but I'm really impressed with your output. And
thank you, Ray.
Yeah. So do you go to work? You go to work every day, I'm assuming.
I try to.
That's a lonely life. You're in there.
Do you treat it like a job? You know, 9 to 5. You're with a lunch break.
No, I'm unfortunately not that disciplined. I wish I was. If you have a family, which is what I do, I have a wife and I have three cats, so I'm a cat dad. also, we're at this point in time this week, we're putting in a vegetable garden.
Oh, great.
And also, not to get into anything you don't want to get into, but I'm involved politically as an activist protesting our current administration, doing protests every Saturday, creating protest signs.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
And then I've been doing a series of very rude political cartoons. And so I've been involved in that because I feel like I can't ignore what's happening. So this is taking up some of my time, too. And then doing lots of research reading. As they say, anyone who presumes to teach must never stop learning. So that's my motto. And I keep learning as much about paleontology as I can.
That's fantastic.
Do you actually write a lot of the text for the books? And is this next one? Are you writing the whole thing or are you collaborating?
I'm writing the whole thing. I had co-authors for my last two books, the Sauropod book and the Big Cats book. This is one that I'm totally writing myself. However, the text has been submitted to leading Gomphotheer, Mastodon, and Mammoth experts all over the world. So I've been sending them the text and they've been checking on my text for accuracy.
Will that be in full color? Are you doing color paintings? And
unfortunately, the color is going to be limited to what is called in the industry drop in full color. Right. So most of it is going to be graphite drawing and pen and ink. But there's going to be a fair amount of color dropped into it. And then, of course, the cover will be color.
Yeah.
Well, I think you're every bit as, science and art, you know, you are a scientist as well, Mark, you know.
Well, thank you, Ray.
You've got to be doing it. I mean, you're writing these definitive texts. I mean, they're textbooks in a way, you know, they're just so comprehensive. And so more power to you, man.
Yeah. Ray, do you want to ask your question?
I think it's probably time for the question.
Yeah.
You know,
this is fun. This is the fun part, Mark.
It's all fun. It's been nothing but fun, Dave, always.
Well, it is. It's your fun for me.
I have a script here.
Uh-oh.
But, hey, Mark, if you could step into a super cool time machine, a chamber, if you will, and go way back in time, into deep time, what exciting epoch, what perfect paleo period, what exquisite era would you go back to, and what precisely would you want to see?
Now, Ray, you're assuming all my travel expenses will be paid to go around the world, right?
You'll also have a force field to protect you from any creature or atmosphere that's not breathable.
Put it on the Paleo Nerds credit card.
Well, okay. If someone held a gun to my head, I probably would choose, even though I love dinosaurs dearly, I would probably go back to the Villafranchian stage of the late Pliocene in places like France, Western Europe, and North America, because the late Pliocene, as it transitioned into the Pleistocene, was the time where you have maximum mammalian diversity, not only mammoths and mastodons, but predators, saber-tooths, panther and cats, all over the world. The Earth was like a gigantic zoo, and I would spend my time traveling all over the world at this time to see these, just because I guess if I have to choose, I would do that. I know that's going to sound like heresy to a lot of the dinosaur folks out there.
No.
But I love mammals just as well. So this would be the time I would choose. So Villafranchian of Europe.
Wow.
Excellent.
That's, 2 million years ago? What is the Villafranchian?
Oh, gosh.
Just approximately.
That was probably about somewhere between maybe, I believe, if I'm not wrong, about 2.8 million years ago. Right. Hey, Ray, I'm looking so much forward to seeing your extended paleo map. I love the way it appears in the other books. And I want to see more of the Eastern Seaboard because that's well known.
That's what he's doing. And he's the Where's Waldo of paleontology.
Yeah, I'm deep into I'm deep into Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama right now.
There you go.
So there's one big map and working my way east. That's a big project. I'll be done maybe in a year, I hope. But wow. Dave, over to you.
Mark, over the past 40 years, you've built an extraordinary career as a paleo artist, as well as being credited with coining that term, paleo art. I mean, you're a living legend, and your art is just, it's fantastic. You're very welcome. You've also created scientifically grounded paleo art featured in museums, major publications, Hollywood films that we discussed, and you never let your disability hold you back. So, what advice would you give to aspiring artists facing both physical or mental challenges and the peer pressure that can come with them, who worry that these obstacles, these personal obstacles, might keep them from achieving their goals?
I would say, first of all, and this is a cliche by now, but I would say believe in yourself, believe in your abilities, never stop trying. Keep working, push yourself harder than you could imagine to do what you want to do. And for God's sake, never let anyone tell you you can't do something because you can. You can always find a way around doing something. No matter what your limitations are, you could do it. And these are the main pieces of advice I would give anyone like that who has a disability of any kind. Don't let yourself be identified by your disability. You were an artist. You were a paleo artist, and by God, let that be your identity.
You know, actually, I watched that short bio piece that Oregon Public TV did on you, Mark, and they talked about it. You talked a little bit about it, but I like the image of the when water is blocked, it finds another way, you know?
Yes.
And I thought that was a really great metaphor, you know, for, yeah, when you're facing challenges. So.
Well, you are a testament to your success and a shining example and a guiding light for all those who think they can't do something when you show that you can.
Thanks so much, Dave. That really makes me feel very good. I appreciate that.
Well, it's an honor. It's an honor to talk to you and spend time with you.
Well, one last question, because I know this is going on for...
What's your sign? No.
No, what's your sign? You know, you're always working on assignment. You know, I find myself working on assignment, and I'm an elderly man now. I guess I'm an elderly man. You're maybe a little bit older than me, and we've always got these due dates and these projects and things. But I always seem to be kind of longing for like no deadlines, nothing. I want to go to the studio and paint whatever the heck I want. You know, I've got the map project, which I'm enjoying, but it's also like, you know, I want to have some time just to go out to the studio and do some art. What would be, instead of the time travel thing, if you were to go to your studio one day, there's no book deadline, anything, what are you going to paint? What do you want to paint, Mark?
I mean, for
what,
fun.
What would be that image? Yes, just for the fun of it, just because you want to do it.
If I could go back to my studio and without deadlines and just do whatever I want?
Yeah.
I think I would still be painting paleo critters because I'm fascinated by them. One illustration or painting I want to do is one that exists as a drawing right now, and the title of it is One Last Look, and it's of a Tyrannosaurus walking back into the forest, looking back over his or her shoulder, and the title is a play on the idea that he's taking one last look. It's one last look at a T-Rex, maybe before it becomes extinct. And it's one last look that we have seeing it. So I would still do that. I have numerous ideas for paintings. I have other ideas for sculptures. I also do have a small series of limited edition bronzes, Neanderthal sitter, saber-tooth cat. I have a one that I would love to do. It's a Camarasaurus just the head and part of the neck with little pterosaurs kind of clustering around its face, picking off nits
picking
and skin.
Off ticks.
I would call that's that brilliant. Among friends.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Well, this would be a tribute to my very dear friend, Bill Stout, who is one of my most admired.
We had William on our show. Yeah.
Yeah, early on we had Bill on.
His book on dinosaurs in 1980 or so really made a huge difference in the way I saw dinosaurs.
Wow.
It's a wonderful book, and his illustrations are
we'll have a link
incredible.
To that on your page here at Paleonerds.com.
But that is the thing, is, and just what you described with the T-Rex in the last look, is it's this vision that an artist has in your head, this vision that you had of these sauropods on that floodplain in that sort of moody light. It's those visions that burn in your head, and you just want to see them come to life, and it's almost like the technique doesn't matter at all. You just work toward making that vision real. But you have given us so many visions. It's cool that these visions that you have made a reality have sparked inspiration in other people like Spielberg. You know, he saw your work and he knew that he wanted
to inspire Spielberg is an accomplishment.
Yeah, I guess that's all I'm saying. So anyways, you've gone on for a while. It's been so great to have you here on the show. Well,
thank you, Mark.
Mark, really appreciate it. And I'll be in touch, man.
Well, guys, thank you so much. What a pleasure this has been to be able to talk to both of you. This is the best day I've had for a long time. And thank you so much for letting me on Paleonerds.
Our pleasure, Mark. Take care.
All right. You guys, take care.
Okay, I have to admit, Ray, I thought I was going to be bored talking to another artist because you're an artist. You always want artists.
Ah, this was another great one. It just was so much fun. What an amazing guy that he is.
Yeah, I told you, Dave.
I don't think I told you so.
You know, we're 86 episodes into this, and I think everyone is, you know, we find a way with everyone that we talk to. But, I know that, you know, sometimes you just assume that an artist is just the visual artist, but these people who go way deep into the science, he's the real deal. He's the real deal.
Yeah, it's not just painting the dinosaurs, but he knows the anatomy and their everything. It's just really impressive.
Getting into his background there. And
wait till you see that picture of the see-through sexual sauropod.
I texted
it's
that to
amazing.
You knowing that would get your attention. And we didn't talk about the one with the poop. There was the big giant, you know.
There's a sauropod walking away in a big steaming heap that he just left.
The massive steaming heap. And they do comment, like, just imagine what sauropods could, you know, crap into the
something
world.
Something that eats, like, it has to eat a ton a day of food or something like that.
It's got to go somewhere. So,
that's incredible.
Yeah, so great interview and, pretty inspiring story, too, really. There's a personality behind the creatures. You know?
Yeah, there is.
And so when I draw and paint little fish, I try to give them a little bit. You know, in Mark's work, the animals are alive and engaging. And you could tell it's an absolute lifelong fascination of his. And that's why I always like to get the origin stories. Where did this thing, did it bite you? And sometimes it bites people later in life, you know?
Yeah, but he was so young. I can't wait to see those early drawings if he has them.
Yeah.
Well, another great episode. And signing off from Ojai, California, where they're building a house in the wildlands behind my house. So I'm going to have 2.5 years of construction sounds.
That sounds
like just life.
We'll be able to listen to that as we record these episodes, future episodes.
Yeah, we are building here.
Construction
in the
noise. Unless you build that little room in the basement. You don't have a basement, do you?
No.
Oh, all right. We'll get working on that. All right. Anyway, signing off from K-Town by the sea, the tourist ships. There was the first one yesterday. There's not one today, but soon they'll be here in force. So it's a beautiful day here in K-Town. And go down and...
K-Town is what? Kansas Town?
No. I'm in Ketchikan, dude.
Our listeners might not know that because you always talk about Kansas.
No, I don't always.
K-Town is a Ketchikan moniker, not a normal... People don't understand.
I'm keeping people guessing out there. I'm back and forth, man. But anyways, it's a beautiful day here in Ketchikan, Alaska. So, all right. See you later, dude.
See you later. Great episode.
Bye.
Thank you, Ray. Bye.
Thanks for being a Paleo Nerd. Help us spread the word of science. Rate us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Blue Sky. You can even email your questions and comments to nerds@paleonerds.com. Did you know that each episode is paired with photographs and links? Check out paleonerds.com for photographic evidence that everyone here has been a paleo nerd for a long, long time. I'm a paleo nerd. I'm a paleo nerd. I'm a paleo nerd. Don't you understand? I'm a paleo.
You cannot impose, you can't stick your nose into something that you don't understand. Still you wonder who's cheating, who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right with someone tonight and whose car is parked next door. I thought I knew her well, I really couldn't tell that she had another lover on her mind. See, it felt so right when she held me tight. How could I be so blind? Still you wonder who's cheating, who's being true, and who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right with someone tonight, whose car's barking next door. Guitar. Time love is stolen in the shadows of the night. Though it's wrong all along, it keeps going on as long as they keep it out of sight. Still you wonder who's cheating who, and who's being true, who don't even care anymore. It makes you wonder who's doing right with someone tonight, whose car is barking next door. Cars parked next door.
I've wept for those who suffer long, but how I weep for those who've gone. In rooms of grief and question wrong, but keep on killing It's in the soul to feel such things, but weak to watch without speaking. Oh, what mercy sadness brings, if God be willing. There is a train that's heading straight to heaven's gate, to heaven's gate. And on the way, child and man and woman wait, watch and wait for redemption day. Fire rages in the streets and swallows everything it meets. It's just an image often seen on television. Come leaders, come ye men of great, let us hear you pontificate. Your many virtues laid to waste, and we aren't listening. There is a train that's heading straight to heaven's gate, to heaven's gate. And on the way, child and man and woman wait, watch and wait for redemption day. What do you have for us today? Throw us a bone, but save the plate. Oh, why we waited till so late? Was there no oil to excavate? No riches in trade for the fate of every person who died in hate? Throw us a bone, ye men of great. There is a train that's heading straight to heaven's gate, to heaven's gate. And on the way, child and man and woman wait, watching wait for redemption day. It's buried in the countryside, exploding in the shells of night. It's everywhere a baby cries, freedom.
I didn't know my baby loved me so until that letter come to let me know. I'll pack my bags and then I'll go and catch the first train I see heading south. If I'd have got this letter in Idaho with snow so deep it wouldn't let me go, I'd have went hog wild and melted all that snow and caught the first train I saw heading south. If I'd have got this letter in Iowa, nothing in this world could make me stay. I'd have grabbed my hat and then been on my way and caught the first train I saw heading south. I didn't know my baby loved me so until that letter come to let me know. Now I'll pack my bags and then I'll go and catch the first train I see heading south. I
didn't know my baby loved me so, until that letter come to let me know. I'll pack my bags and then I'll go and catch the first train I see heading south. If I'd have got this letter in Ohio with a busted back, two arms and a broken toe, there'd be no hesitation, I would go and catch the first train I saw heading south. But I got this letter up in Maine. You can bet your bottom dollar I feel the same. If they could clack of the driver's for name, as I ride this fast train I caught hidden south. I didn't know my baby loved me so, until that letter come to let me know. I'll pack my bags and then I'll go and catch the first train I see heading south.
I like to smoke my old corn pipe, but I've chewed tobacco nearly all my life. Ding, 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 ding. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco rag. I even like to smoke cigarettes sometimes, but when it comes to dipping, I'll draw the line. Ding, 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 ding. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco rag. If you chew tobacco, don't spit on the floor. Expect to be raid in the cuspidor. Ding, 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 ding. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco rag. Never had a chew in your life before, why don't you try? You sure want more. Ding, 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 ding. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco rag. Just get a big plug and bite off the end and let it run down and off your chin. Ding, 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 ding. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco rag. If you chew tobacco, don't spit on the floor. Respect to red in the cuspidor. Ding, 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 ding. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco rag. You can smoke cigarettes while the sun goes down, but I'll chew tobacco and spit on the ground. Ding, 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 ding. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco rag. Now all day long you can smoke your pipe, and I'll chew tobacco and spit all night. Ding, 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 ding. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco rag. If you chew tobacco, don't spit on the floor. Expect to raid in the custom door. Ding, 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 ding. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco rag. Ding, 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 ding. Chew tobacco, chew tobacco, chew tobacco rag.
Many tears ago, you said you loved me. Oh, how happy was this heart of mine. Then a dark cloud came from out of nowhere, and the sun went down no more to shine. Many tears ago I learned to well love what it means to bear a heavy load. I found out just what is meant by sorrow. Many tears ago along life's road, many tears ago I built a castle, built it very strong and very tall. Though I thought it had a firm foundation, many tears ago I saw it fall. Many
times I've wished that I would die in love. Better to be dead than feel so low. All I ever lived or ever hoped for left me many, many tears ago. Years ago, you called me darling. In my dreams, I hear you say it now. I can almost feel your arms around me. Arms that never meant to keep their vow. Many tears ago, 'twas in the springtime. When you said goodbye and went away. Oh, how well this aching heart remembers many, many tears ago today.
Never had much money, never won a race. My jokes don't end up funny. I've had doors slammed in my face, but I think you've charmed me. I always hoped that someone would. Never had love like this before. I never had it so good. I'm not the kind that's trusted, always tripping over logs. So often I've been busted, chased by friendly dogs. But I think you've charmed me. I always hoped that someone would. Never had a love like this before. I never had it so good. Oh, I think you've charmed me. I always hoped that someone would. Never had love like before. I never had it so good. Never had love like this before. I never had it so good.
I feel like above,
sending me your love. In you I see my dreams and plans, they'll all come true. I wanna give you everything for all the happiness you bring. I wanna walk that path of life on hands with you. I feel like climbing a mountain, chasing a rainbow. Anything to prove my love is true. Well, I feel like swimming a river, sailing a sea. Anything to prove my love to you. Well, now I've been everywhere, just to name it, I've been there. Seen the many wonders of this world, yes it's true. But love has finally come my way, and honey I just got to say, well there'll never be a woman who could love me like you do. I feel like climbing a mountain, chasing a rainbow. Anything through my love is true.
Just call me plain, 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 plain vanilla. A country girl is all I'll ever be. Just call me plain, 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 plain vanilla. A country flavored world is good enough for me. Well, I grew up in the country and I felt I was deprived of all the finer things I thought were the better things. You know, and I got a big house, fancy cars, diamonds and fur coats. Then I got something else I never planned on getting. I got saved, I got lonesome from my home sweet home, and now I'm a going back. So just call me plain, 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 plain vanilla. A country girl is all I'll ever be. Just call me plain. He's always hunted for. He's often traveled round in circles, ending up on start. Yeah, appreciating comes too late sometimes, and now I know I wish I were what I was when I wanted to be more. And that's just plain, 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 plain vanilla. A country girl is all I'll ever be. Just call me plain, plain. Just call me plain, 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 plain vanilla.
Something done. Soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done wrong. Daddy's hands were always gentle, but I couldn't understand. There was always love in Daddy's hands.
Understand it. Every single thing I try to do, you're always there to lend a helping hand in. But most of all, I love you 'cause you're you. No matter what the world may say about me, I know your love will always see me through. I love you for the way you never doubt me, but most of all, I love you 'cause you're you. Billy Bird now. Heart is lighter every time you're walking by my side. I love you because the future's brighter. The door to happiness you've opened wide. No matter what may be the style or season, I know your heart will always be true. I love you for 100,000 reasons, but most of all, I love you 'cause you're you.
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morn, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And its mama cries, 'cause if there's one thing that she don't need, it's another little hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto. People, can't you understand? A child needs a helping hand, or he'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Or do we simply turn our heads and look the other way while the world turns? And a hungry little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as a cold wind blows in the ghetto. And his hunger burns. So he starts to roam the streets at night. He learns how to steal and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. And then one night, in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys him a gun and he steals a car and he tries to run, but he don't get far. And his mama cries as the crowd gathers round an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto. And a young man dies on a cold and gray Chicago morn. Another little baby child is born in the ghetto. And its mama cries.
With helpless hands, I've stood by and watched you walk away. I've thought, oh Lord, how can I ever face another day? But here we stand, I'm in your arms. Once again, you're mine. Still I know you're gonna hurt me one more time.
One more time is all it takes
to keep me breathing.
One more time is all I'm ever
living for. I'd be lying if I said that you're not always on my mind. Though I know you're gonna hurt me one more time. I wish you could be satisfied to love no one but me. But I guess that restless feeling in your heart will always be. I still tremble when you hold me close and tell me that you're mine. Even though you're gonna hurt me one more time.
One more time is all it takes
to keep me breathing.
And one more time is all I'm ever
I'd be lying if I said that you're not always on my mind. Though I know you're gonna hurt me one more time.
The sun.